discover the hidden Israelite ancestry of some of the most powerful nations on earth. Watch as Scripture unveils the terrifying future of America and Great Britain as revealed through the sabbatical and jubilee years. Discover the identity of Assyria and its role in this final jubilee cycle. Learn of the pending judgments that are to be soon poured out as a result of transgressing the sabbatical years. Sighted Moon. For articles, videos, and updates, visit sightedmoon.com.
So there's the sabbatical years that we talked about in the book. This is the ones that the Kadesh Yahweh Press talk about. So I want to cover some of these. We covered those first 13 in the book, and Kadesh Yahweh Press does 480 pages on them. There's awesome. Go and read it. It's proof. It's proof positive. Then you'll know. But the newest thing that's come out since I made the videos and since I did the book was these tombstones. These tombstones are amazing. They're outside the land of Israel. At the bottom of the Dead Sea in the land of Moab. That's never been a part of the land of Israel. And here they are. They are keeping the sabbatical years. This is the amazing thing. So this first one, so I'm going in chronological order. We have 50 of them in here, all in Hebrew. But the pictures that match, I've eliminated, which leaves me with about 20 to 30 stones in here that we have not deciphered yet. I'm so excited about this. So this is ongoing. The more proof I get, the more I'm right. Let's read what the tombstones say. And let's analyze it. So this one has no pictures with the article, only a description. The authors have written that the tombstone contains two texts, five lines of Greek followed by four lines of Aramaic. The tombstone is decorated with red menorahs and with nothing on the backside of the stone. Some of the Greek text is hard to read. The authors reproduced by Jay Nava. Jay Nava is the guy that wrote this. So he's my authority here. J. Navis text and translated the Aramaic, which says, "This is the grave of Moses, Moshe, son of Marsa, who died in the year 3 of the sabbatical cycle, in the month of Kislev, on the 27th day of it, which is the year 290 after the destruction of the temple." Okay, so now, hang on. 290 years plus 70 gives you the year 360, common era. So he says, in year 3, Moshe died in year 3 of the sabbatical cycle. So year 3, starting at the bottom, in the 4, what year we got now? We're at 360, so we look where year 360 is, 5th sabbatical cycle. 1, 2, 3 from the bottom is year 360. In the third year of the sabbatical cycle. How did they know my charts were going to be matching up with their tombstones? That is a woo-hoo moment. I don't want to jump any higher, it might hurt somebody. That's one. Number two. The year 416, common era. There's the tombstone. This is the tombstone of Esther, the daughter of Adeo, who died in the month of Shabbat, of the third year of the sabbatical cycle, the year 346 years after the destruction of the temple. 346 plus 70 equals 416. So 416 should be the third year of the sabbatical cycle. Let me check my notes over here. So anyway, the third year of the sixth sabbatical cycle turns out to be 416. Another match. Woohoo. These guys are living in the land of Moab, outside the land of Judea, outside the land of Israel, outside the land, and they're keeping the sabbatical year, and they're counting according to the destruction of the temple. The cedar Olam changes the temple's destruction to 69 or 68 common era. Therefore, when the Jews who believe in the cedar Olam are doing this, that 416 now becomes 415 or 414, and it doesn't match up to anything they understand, and so they dismiss all these tombstones because they're using it from a wrong reckoning. Number three. Okay, now this one's more complicated, so you got to think on this one. This is the grave of Ursh, daughter of Marsa, the fellow who died on Thursday, the 17th day of the month of Elul, in the fourth year of the sabbatical year, the year 362 after the destruction of the temple. So 362 plus 70 gives you 432, right? So the year 432 takes place on the first sabbatical cycle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 years into the cycle. But they said the fourth year. Why? Uh-oh. Just threw everything out of whack here. What's going on? I'm not going to use this. It doesn't fit my theory. Throw it away. Hide it. Don't let nobody see it. No, because this is proving me right because of the confusion that it causes. You guys don't see it yet. What's this? When did the calendar start to get messed with? 352, Hillel comes out with the calculated calendar. What year are we in? We're in the year 400. What's starting to happen now? Yeah, they're starting to... What's going on? This lady here, Kim, you asked me a question before about when the year starts. Here's the evidence. What is it? What is the evidence? What do you see? Okay, let's back up. In the fourth year of the sabbatical cycle, the year 362 after the destruction of the temple, oh, back up a little bit more. In the month of Elul. When's the month of Elul? It's right now. Right now, today, this, you know, today, this is the month of Elul. When's that in relation to Rosh Hashanah? Before Rosh Hashanah. When is that in relation to Aviv? After Aviv. Which one begins the year? Not if you're living at these times during this time. Do you see it? So Elul is just before Rosh Hashanah. Ka-ching. Rosh Hashanah starts there. What year am I looking for here? 432. Starts their fifth year, but Aviv is already in the fifth year. Do you see it? You see Rosh Hashanah? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the Jewish New Year. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's when they start the New Year. You see, insert Adar Shani at the here. At That's a new, this is New Year's for the kings. Mm-hmm. And Passover's right after that. Mm-hmm. That's the month of Aviv. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nisan,
right. So she died in the month of Elul. See Elul up there, number six? Mm-hmm. That's when she died. So according to accounting using Aviv, she's already in the fifth year. But according to the start of the year using Rosh Hashanah, she's not quite there yet. In 352, Hillel created a new calendar called a calculated calendar because the people were being put out of the land. And they needed a reference to when to keep the holy day, so he created that calendar. But it wasn't enforced until the 12th century by Rambam. In the meantime, the people outside the land began to change the calendar because of Leviticus 25:10, the Feast of Trumpets being on the Day of Atonement, justifying change in the year to Rosh Hashanah, which is 10 days before the Feast of Atonement. It gets a little complicated, but for those of you who have studied this issue, you understand what I'm showing you here. We're talking about the same year, the fifth year, and this proves me right even more so. So yes, they moved away from Aviv, which is Exodus 12:2, and we have no other scripture to say start at Rosh Hashanah. So this is a complicated one, but it's not that complicated. We got a couple more. This is number four. So now we're up to year 434, Common Era. May rest the soul of Saul, the son of, we don't know what it says, who died in the first day of the month of Marshwan. When's the month of Marshwan? Of the first year of the sabbatical cycle, the year 364 after the destruction of the temple. Peace. Peace. 364 plus 70 equals 434. What year? What year? The first year of the sabbatical cycle. First year of the sabbatical cycle, year 434. 434. Uh-oh. That's not a first year of the sabbatical cycle. It's a jubilee year. 434 happens to be a sabbatical year. It's not, what did we say? The first year of the sabbatical cycle. What's wrong? Why? Marshwan, the month of Marshwan. When's Marshwan? Marshwan is also called Kishwan, is it not? The month of Marshwan, it is the eighth month of the year. It's also called Sheshavan. When did the year change according to these Jews? Rosh Hashanah. When does it change according to the Aviv? Right, so now hang on. There's two things going on here that you don't realize. Zuckerman's saying it's 68. Wackholder's saying it's 69. These people are now saying 69, thinking. Okay, I'm confusing you. I shouldn't have said that. But they're using that same type of terminology. The sabbatical year began at Aviv and continues until Aviv the following year, but they're saying it's Cheshwan. That moves it into the next year. That moves it into the first year of the next cycle if you go by Rosh Hashanah. But it's still in a sabbatical year, which is exactly what our charts are showing. Do you see this? Ka-ching again. Everything that I'm saying here is being proven true by these Jews who live outside the land of Israel. So when they number the month depends on the year. You got to be careful of these things. Everyone we've seen so far has matched. Tombstone number 5, 439 Common Era. This is the one I saw at the Israeli Museum. It was so awesome. I only learned about this 2 years ago. But this information has been around for about 50 years. You can buy these tombstones today on the black market. $2,000-$3,000. But you got to know what they say. I don't know what they say. Here are the words of the actual tombstone of Hannah. This is the tombstone of Hannah, daughter of Haniel, the priest, who died on the Sabbath, the first festival of Passover. Hint, hint, clue, clue, what? Hang on. On the Passover, on the Sabbath, on the 15th day of the month of Nisan. When's Passover? 14, 15. We got that controversy going on. Here's someone telling you when it is. 400 years after Christ. Wow. Anyway, another article, another day. The fifth year of the sabbatical cycle, which is the year 369 years after the destruction of the temple. So there's the actual tombstone. There's the little chart they have at the Israeli Museum. And if you haven't been to Israel and the Israeli Museum, you must go. Awesome. So they got artifacts going back for 4,000 years. Awesome. 369 plus 70 gives you 439. And 439 is, in the second sabbatical cycle, the fifth year. Ka-ching. Everybody see it? Tombstone number 6. The deceased, whose name is not clear enough, died on Sabbath, the 25th of Tevet, in the first year of the sabbatical cycle, 386 years after the destruction of the temple. 386 years after the temple is 456. And she died, 456 is the first year of this fifth cycle and the first year of the sabbatical, another match. I just love it when everybody proves me right. Number seven, 472 Common Era. This is the tombstone of Hannah, daughter of Levi. This one is also in the Israeli Museum. Daughter of Levi, who died on Thursday on the 19th day of the month of Sivan. When's the month of Sivan? It's the third month. In the third year of the sabbatical year, 402 years since the destruction of the temple, peace upon Israel, peace. So there's the 402 plus 70 is 472. 472 is the third year of the sabbatical cycle. And she is the third year of the sabbatical year. Did you see that? They said the sabbatical year. The third year of the sabbatical year, the third year of the sabbatical cycle. And there it is. One, two, three. Third year of the sabbatical cycle. They were keeping track of time. Why are you told? We don't know. You got a dumb ditch digger here telling you these facts, and these smart people teaching you Torah don't know. How flat do you want the front of your head? Number eight. May rest the soul of Haifu, the daughter of somebody who died on Tuesday, the 11th day of Elul. Here's the month of Elul again. In the year of the sabbatical cycle, that is the year 435 after the destruction of the temple. Peace upon Israel, peace. 435 plus 70. This one is also complicated. So, Joseph Nava, who wrote this book, says that because of a certain hyphen, I'm just going to give you the Cole's notes on this, a real quick Cole's notes. Says because of this hyphen in this sentence, and my Hebrew is very poor, it changes either the first year to the sabbatical year. And he says, and some other authorities say, it's a sabbatical year. I believe that's what it's saying. Let's look at the chart. So 435, 505, 505 is the first year. So this hyphen changes the interpretation of that sentence to either the sabbatical year or the first year. Okay? Again, the page is, I'm not going to read the whole page to you. It's on my website. I can send it to you. Joseph Nava's translation of it. I can pull it up here right now if you want. But I'm trying to go for time here. Okay? Trust me on this. No, don't trust me on this. Don't ever trust anybody. Go and prove this. Right before this page explains this. This hyphen changes the date. But it also proves me right. Because those who say it's the sabbatical year are wrong. It's the first year. And Joseph Nava is one of the few that got it right. So that's one that's controversial. And we can argue about that one. And I'll give you one. But if I give you one, you're going to say that proves everything wrong. No, I'll give you one. Disprove everything else I've said so far. Number nine, 515. We're almost done, I think. This one again is in the Jerusalem Museum. May the soul of Hasadiah, the priest, son of Dimatin, rest, who died on Thursday, the 5th of Av, in the fourth year of the sabbatical cycle, which is the year 445 after the destruction of Israel, of the temple. Peace upon Israel, peace. 445 plus 70 is 515. And 515 is the fourth year of the sixth sabbatical cycle. Exactly as they said. So, I believe these are the ones I know about. Here are two that I don't know what they say. And here are two more that I don't know what they say. And here are two more. And each of these are all in this document here. They have not, as far as I know, been translated, or I have not been able to find them. Each of the documents that I have for tombstones, I show a picture so I make sure I'm not duplicating my evidence. Because the temple was a major event in their life, Rambam changed that. He says, we no longer, in the 12th century, Rambam says, we no longer have to date from the destruction of the temple. We're going to start our dating from Anno Domino, year zero or year one, A.D. Not A.C. like they were saying after Christ. So he said A.D. But that was the 12th century. So up until that time, they were still dating things as after the destruction of the temple. Here's King Alexander Janus, who lived in Jerusalem, king of Jerusalem, from 103 to 76 B.C., and he minted coins during the Jubilee year. And there's certain symbols that they put on there that tell you these are Jubilee years. And when you check the charts, 78 B.C. was a Jubilee year. Am I checking that right? Let me check that. Better check that. This is the first time I presented this. I'll make sure I got my stuff right. Susan, have I said that right? You're not double checking me? 78 B.C. Yep, 78 B.C. was a sabbatical year, not a Jubilee year, sabbatical year. So we have King Herod doing the same thing in 36 B.C. And the special coins were made only during the Shemitah or the sabbatical year or a Jubilee year. So 36 B.C. is a sabbatical year. And 36 B.C. is one of those years on that Kadesh Eliyahu we press prove. Then we have 22, 15, and 8. You've heard of the widow's mite? When were the widow's mites minted? This is so amazing. A Shemitah year. They were minted for the Shemitah year. They were minted to show the generosity of the king to the people. Well, why didn't he mint the $100 coins instead of just the widow's mite coin? Anyway, but he does. And there's special symbols on there on each one showing it's a sabbatical year. Here's 42 Common Era. King Agrippa does the same thing. These are Shemitah coins. They show the prosperity. So they show the prosperity. They show the vines. They show the wheat. They show the fruits of the land. That's what they were representing. Instead of calling them Shemitah, they were called, and I don't know how to say this, so I'm just going to say Geula. Anyone know how to say that? Geula? Am I pronouncing that right? These were minted during the sabbatical year of 70 Common Era. Oh. They didn't expect the temple to be destroyed or them to be defeated. Here's coins during the Bar Kokhba revolt of 133. Again, showing the prosperity of the land, trying to reinvigorate the people into spending money. It's a Jubilee year. A sabbatical year. So this is one of the things that we need to take a quick look at. We need to establish the year that the temple was destroyed. How do we prove that? Again, I'm in a court of law. My court of law is between me and Jehovah and between me and you. I got to prove in a court of law that this stuff is true. You got to be the judge and the jury. You get to decide. So you got to figure this stuff out. Am I presenting the evidence properly? Some people say the temple was destroyed in 68. Some people say 69. History records it in 70 AD. So let's look at that. So, because the tombstones depend on knowing the right year. So here's Zuckerman and Wackholder and their discrepancies. Which is it? How do we prove that? I've already shown Wackholder and Zuckerman to be wrong. Or not me, but I'm showing you, based on Kadesh Eliyahu Press. They also do a great deal of examination on the year 70, the year the temple was destroyed. And they prove it as well. So, and we go into the Seder Olam. Okay, so the Seder Olam, we've already talked about that and how he took the 490 years and tried to make that fit the time when Simon Bar Kokhba would be the Messiah. So he fudged the dates for the first temple's destruction and he left the second temple destruction as an ambiguous date of either 68 or 69, all in an order to make Simon Bar Kokhba the Messiah. Rabbi Yossi, okay, in the Seder Olam, says the sabbatical year occurred before the first year of the second temple, before the first and second temple were destroyed. It's not true for either one, but he's trying to make a point here. But here's another book. This is called the Socino Babylonian Talmud, Berkaroth Arakin. In this book, it states that the temple was destroyed in 70 AD during a sabbatical year. This book is also in the Talmud, but the Cedar Oil Lamb gets all the press. Okay, one or two witnesses, right? Here's another one. This is the Avoda Zara, written by Huna, claims the Second Temple was destroyed during a sabbatical year. Again, this is part of the Talmud, and yet it doesn't get any press. The Cedar Olam does. It's selective hearing, selective what you want to present your case. Let's look at all the evidence. Here are two saying, no, it was a sabbatical year. So all the Jewish writers from the second century on are influenced by the chronology errors of Rabbi Yossi, who used a distorted view of Daniel 9:24 as his base. And then after that, the Christianity began to use that same chronology because they now realize, hey, Daniel is talking about the Messiah. He's not the Simon Bar Kokhba, but let's use it for Yeshua. So they changed the dates now. Rabbi Yossi misled you, and people have believed it as truth. 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It says 7 weeks on purpose. It says 62 weeks on purpose. It's not 69 weeks, as many people now teach you today for the Daniel timeline line. 483 years, right? So they're trying to line that up with Simon Bar Kokhba. The 484th year is then the year 133. Why? Because it fits my thinking, and then therefore I got to change history to fit my thinking. That's what he did. This is why he did it. This is why it's wrong, because the temples were not destroyed in 420. They were destroyed in 586 and 70 Common Era.
We're here listening to Joseph Dumont's teachings on the sabbatical years. So far, it's been very informative, and he really puts it in a good format that's pretty easy to understand.
His teaching has been unique, not like anything else that I've listened to.
Joseph has definitely been shown something that every believer needs to know.
You'll be amazed to see what he has come up with.
All the things that we have been just introduced to by Joseph has been an incredible thing, and there's so much research that he has done for us.
As I read his material, I thought, yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense.
And Joseph Dumont, I believe, does a really good job of going step by step and showing how there's cycles, and they all seem to line up.
This is the answer, and it seems as though it's been hidden for many, many years.
We're getting so close to the end. He's the only one I've seen that's got the numbers that seem like they add up. They work with the sabbatical years and the Jubilee cycle.
He's really waking some people up out here. It's really good for the younger people to get this message, because we are the future.
In general, I agree with the findings that Joseph has come up with. Don't take my word for it. Go and test it and try it for yourself.
Anyone who's ever taught Hebraic roots, whether they be in just churches, wherever they are, or in study groups or life groups, or in the media, or have written books, listen to this sabbatical and Jubilee year teaching by Joseph Dumont and get on board.
Sighted Moon. For articles, videos, and updates, visit sightedmoon.com.